Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
President Barack Obama came into office almost 8 years ago. And the hope was he was going to be a uniter. The country had gone through a lot. That this was the guy that was bringing hope and change with him. But on top of that, he was also seen as a beacon of hope for people of color, for minorities. And over these last 8 years, we've become more divided than we have been in a long time. The law enforcement community and the minority community as divided as I have seen them since the Rodney King, since the riots, since the Rampart thing that took place in the 90s. It's nasty. It is, in a lot of ways. Now, it's not horrible, as it could be, and as some people maybe make it out to be, but where I think we thought we would be, we ain't there. We're not there. And there's a lot of things that go into it. It's not just singularly President Obama's fault. Let's be 100% honest, if we can, for a second, within ourselves. There are a lot of people out there, yes, even some white folk, especially some white folk, who didn't want President Obama to be president. Not that they, in their heart, they kind of had some bias towards him. Not everybody, but there were some. Some, a good majority of people that didn't like President Obama, it was his politics. And the beauty of America is we've gotten to that point where, yes, you may be black, but mostly it's because I don't like your politics, and that's why. Some of the other reasons may be is I just, you know, don't like anything the Democrats do. Oh, but that's good. That's where we want to be, right? We don't want to be judged by the color of our skin, but by the content of our heart. And, of course, you know, our actions and our beliefs. We all thought this was it, right? You know, I mean, oh, my God, this is it. Black guy in the White House. It's all good now, right? Everybody all good. High five. We're all good, right? Right? Everything's good. We're good, good, good. Oh, good. Are we good? We're good. Pound it out. Woohoo! What's up, brother? No, it didn't work that way. It didn't. And instead, what we've seen is we've got a division there, right? President Barack Obama has not, in many ways, done a lot to try to smoothen certain situations out, has not done a lot in a lot of people's eyes to quell any of the controversy. And instead, what he's done is, quelling the controversy, instead what he's done is he's put his foot in his mouth. And he's injected himself into certain situations, which has caused more upheaval, which has caused more strife, which has caused more controversy, which is not good. Which is not good. Some people have taken it that way, right? They've taken certain situations. He's put himself into it, whether it be the professor, just as his presidency was taking off, or working its way all the way up to, you know, what we've seen over the last, you know, 24 months with Ferguson, with the Trayvon Martin case several years ago, with all of these things that have happened, calling, you know, African-Americans after somebody's been shot by the police, and yet at the same time not calling a fallen police officer's family, sending somebody from the Justice Department to funerals for certain people and not doing it for police officers. It seemed to be more divided. And at times he has used the Justice Department and Holder as a way, in many ways, I think, of you know, pushing some of the race issues. Not always. Sometimes we're so sensitive to things, we think that's what it is. But the truth is, he wasn't the divider, because we were kind of divided. What he did was, he became that wedge between us, and we got further and further apart, because he pushed and pushed and pushed. I wanted him to be a uniter. I think you did too. I don't want to be further away from my brothers and sisters, from the people that I look to as other Americans. I don't want that. I want us all to be as you know, look, we may not like each other because of our personality, but the fact that we're at the point now, we're still judging each other on skin at times. Look, I don't believe in white privilege. I do believe in white advantage. That being, if I go into a store and I'm white, I'm probably not going to get followed. That being, if I'm driving down the street and I'm white, I'm probably not going to get pulled over. Doesn't mean to say that if I was stealing something, I'm not going to get caught, or if I was committing a crime and I was driving in a car, I'm not going to get caught, or if I have something I shouldn't have, I'm not going to get in trouble. Doesn't mean any of those things. But the advantage of maybe not being pulled over, there's something there. He hasn't united. And at times he did stuff that was seen to be as dividing us. His actions at times felt that way for a lot of people. Whether it be law enforcement, whether it be political correctness, whether it be the use of the Justice Department holder, a lot of these things were seen to be that way. We've got a guy that's coming into the White House now that is coming into a divided nation politically. Social injustice, warriors are everywhere, and they can't stand him. And he's coming into a White House and into a country right now that is extremely divided. But last night, as he says his goodbyes, and he's going around to several different news outlets, kind of giving them the final, see you later, here's what I got to say about these kind of things. He was on with Trevor Noah on The Daily Show, and he was very open about a lot of things and talked about some of the controversial things and how maybe he's bitten his tongue a few times, or maybe didn't say some of the things he wanted to. Cut number two.
Another way of saying this is there's not been a time in my public life or my presidency where I feel as if I have had to bite my tongue. There have been times in my public life where I've said, how do I say this diplomatically?
Yes, diplomatically. How do you say it diplomatically? I get that. But he didn't say some of the things I think he wanted to say. And I'll say, I have said all along that sometimes you don't want to be seen as the person that is just the black people's president. You want to be seen as everybody's president. And maybe you hold African-Americans to a different standard. Sometimes you coach your kid and you push your kid a little bit harder or demand a little bit more from them because you don't want to be seen as favorites. And I think that's happened. And in the back way, I think that using the Justice Department at times to try to find things out or to push narratives has also happened as well. But then he started talking about who we are and where we've come. And this clip is very interesting. We're going to play the clip in its entirety. I'm going to play it again from what you're hearing from a lot of other shows and reading on a lot of other websites are fake news. Take a listen.
We have by no means overcome the legacies of slavery and Jim Crow and colonialism and racism, but that the progress we've made has been real and extraordinary. Uh-huh. If I'm communicating my genuine belief that those who are not subject to racism can sometimes have blind spots or lack appreciation of what it feels to be on the receiving end of that.
And that's what I said earlier, right? I don't know what it's like to drive all black or to shop all black. That's the advantage of that. Just put yourself in other people's shoes. That's what I said about that. But what you'll hear all day, and Phil's going to replay this clip, is what everybody's talking about. And it's one of those things where you can take something and cut it just right or say just enough of it to cause the controversy and not really dig down deep into what's really the underlying message there. Take a listen.
We have by no means overcome the legacies of slavery and Jim Crow and colonialism and racism.
Boom, right there. Everybody's playing that, and they're stopping it there. But the truth is, we haven't overcome everything, and we have a long way to go. But he goes on to talk about how far we've come. He goes along to talk about, yes, we have these things in the past. And yes, there are still some lingering issues that are out there, but we've come a long way. But again, it's the way that people want to shape and paint things. And that's the sad thing. Look, I think President Barack Obama is going to look back at his legacy when it comes to race and think, I could have done more on all sides. I should have been more open. I should have talked more. I should have heard feelings. I should have done a lot of things different. Because that's what we do. We as a nation, we as human beings, right, as individuals. How many of you have done, like whether it's you've gone for an interview or you've gone out on a date or whatever it is, and you think, I should have done this, I should have done that. That's just it. He's going to look at this as an opportunity that's passed him by. And I think in the future, you'll see him take more of a proactive role in this. But I think he's going to look back as his presidency and said, I could have done more with race. And the fact that I'm leaving and it's more divided than it has been in decades is not a legacy that I think he wants to be known. And it's not just all white people, and it's not all just minority people. It's a lot of reasons why we're this way. From political correctness to only listening to feelings to just being able to shut each other out with fears over being branded as something has killed any conversations we can have in this country about race. And I think he had a chance to get out there and talk about it. And in many ways, he didn't. And I think he'll look back at this as a big failure. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show whenever you'd like. Feel free to do. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Trump's got some new people that are going to be on his cabinet there. And right there, right inside the cabinet, he just goes, he opens the door, takes one of the other people out of the cabinet, puts it right there. What do you think of that? What do you think of that person? We got the new person that's there. And somebody paid Trump a visit today to Trump Plaza Tower Super Castle and kissed the ring. Who was it? Chad Benson Show.
That don't kill me. Can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up, man. Cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now. Cause I can't get much longer.
Something is going on here.
Say what?
Well, good luck with that.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Oh, tell you what. Text the show, 323-538-2423. I'm a 50-year-old white male. I never voted for Obama. After his first inaugural speech, I said to myself, maybe this won't be too bad. He sounds like he has a lot of good ideas. Boy, was I wrong. I believe he was the worst president ever. And it has absolutely nothing to do with his skin color. There's a poll out now. You can vote on whether or not he was the best president ever, the worst president ever. Look, everybody's going to have their own opinions. And again, we'll look back on him over time. It'll be, everybody hated Bush after Bush left. And we look back, we're like, it wasn't so bad. You know? You're going to, and if you don't like him, you're not going to like him. Right? There are still people who flourished in the 90s, but hated Clinton and said, I don't want to go back to those days. And if you offered people, there are people that are hoping that Trump fails. How could you hope that your president fails? I want my president, he, she, or Z alike, to be the best president possible, to lead our country in the right direction, and to make sure that our country is safe, to make sure that our country cuts down its deficits, to make sure that our country returns to the standing it once had in this world, and yes, to make sure that he, she, or Z stays out of the way enough so the public sector and the private sector can meld as closely as possible, but eventually so that the private sector can grow and we can all have jobs and do stuff like that. Stay out of my way. That's it. Protect the Constitution. Stay out of my way. That's what I want. And I don't care if it's a Democrat or Republican. I want that, and I want my president to succeed. I want Donald Trump to be an uber successful president. I want him to be so successful that we look back and go, woo! Will it happen? I don't know. But I wanted Obama to succeed. I wanted Obama to succeed. I wanted him to be great. Why? Because if he was doing great and the country was doing great, that means guess what? Things were good. And if you think the best thing for your side, and your side, by the way, the same people out there that scream about the burning the flag or not burning the flag, your side should be underneath that flag. should be about being an American and the success that can come from being an American and the opportunities that come from being an American and the rights that we have from being an American. That's what you should be concerned about. That right there is what you need to be concerned with. And you should want, whether you voted for him or not, whether you can't stand him because he goes around and he uses, quote unquote, he grabs women down there like they're bowling balls. If that, you know what, whatever. You want him to be a success. You want his cabinet to be a success. You want that. And if you don't want that, you're an idiot. If you're so blinded by party rhetoric and BS that you live in this world, in this bubble, that all that matters is your side and nothing else, you are an absolute idiot. You should want him to be a success. I wanted President Barack Obama to be a success. I wanted him to be a success because if America was great and it was moving in the direction that I thought America could go and that things were getting back on the right track, because let's be real, it had gotten wonky there the last couple of years with Bush and it got a little sideways. If we got that back on track, that would have been great. But it didn't get on the track the way I thought it was going to. And yes, he was saddled with a lot of issues. And I'm not blaming everything on him because the Republicans had a huge part to play with it, as did the other Democrats. So there was blame to go around for everybody. But if you think failing is something that would make you feel better, if the president failed so your side could say, I told you, you're an idiot. Again, get on an airplane and say, oh, this pilot here, I don't like him. I hope he crashes our airplane because that'll show him. God, idiots. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBenson, chadbensonshow.com. And I think that texter wrote in. I think he was right. I think, you know what? He wanted him to succeed. Didn't like where he took the country. Nothing to do with his color. Didn't like where he took the country and the way it was going. I think a lot of people felt that way, especially the last 4 years. That's a real honest feeling. Christmas music next. That Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Here is your healthcare update with America's Health.
Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Ah, Christmas. That time of the year where you're either pissed off or you're excited or a bit of both. The holiday season invokes many emotions inside of us. But usually in every city across America, no matter how big or small, there is a radio station that flips around mid-November at the latest to all Christmas music, and you're inundated. Every store you shop in, every television show that you watch, every single commercial has some form of Christmas music on it. Christmas music is one of those things where it's too much of a good thing. It drives you crazy, right? Too much of a good thing. You're like, I love this song. And then 2 weeks later, like you're still a month from Christmas, you're like, I don't ever want to hear that song again. It's like you put a pound of chocolate. And people are like, oh, my God, chocolate. You take a bite and you're like, oh, that's good. Take another bite. Like, oh, that's good. By the fourth bite, you're like, I don't ever want any more chocolate right now. And that's kind of what Christmas music is, right? We love it and we hate it. Some of the most hated music that's out there is also some of the most beloved music. Look at this boy. Anytime we can put, you know, Nickelback. You think Nickelback has a Christmas song? They got to have a Christmas album, right?
Sure
they
got to
have a Christmas. They do. But we've got some of the most hated and yet adored Christmas music songs of all time. And remember, it is it's a subjective thing. Took a big poll. Was it USA Today and Us Weekly took this big poll And these are some of the songs that people both love and hate. It's funny because the reaction earlier when we talked about some of these is the love for some of them and also the hate. And remember, some of it's also seasonal blues. Maybe you're single. You're struggling to pay for presents. Maybe you're out of work. Maybe you just broke up with somebody. Or you could be in love. And you got a great job and you're buying all kinds of presents this year. So many things that go into this. But let's take a look at this one. And why you would want this at this age is bizarre. But here is All I Want for Christmas Are These.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. My two front teeth. See my two front teeth. Gee, if I could only have my two front teeth, then I could wish you Merry Christmas.
And we asked, how did you lose your two front teeth? And the word was methamphetamines. Poor choices. Well, that's not a Christmas story I want to be involved in.
I get that sung by Mr. Herbert.
Say, gosh. Chris. From there, we moved this one. And I knew Mom was this way because she was always a trollop. But Dad's working his butt off, right? He needs a big piece of chicken. He's working two jobs. He's doing all kinds of stuff. And what do you think Mama's doing?
I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last night. She didn't see me creep down the stairs to have a peek. She thought that I was stuffed up in my bedroom.
I knew Mom was that way. I saw Mommy kissing. Whoa, hey now. Mrs. Claus. Now, that'd have been different. I saw Mommy kissing G-Z. Goodness me. Now, that's one of those songs where you hear it the first couple times and you like it. And understand, too, this is the other thing. Every one of these songs has been redone by 85 other people. So not only do you like the song and hate it, there may be a particular version of the song that you like, and then you hear it, you're like, I hate this version of this song. Now, this song I absolutely love, and Phil, I think you agree with me. Somebody said, Ed Birch earlier posted this is one of his favorite songs. I love this Christmas song. It was a one-hit wonder from the 80s, and if you've seen the video, it's as black and white checkered as it's come. It's the waitress's wrapping paper.
I do love this song.
Count a picture, frozen landscape, chill this room for 24 days. Evergreen, sparkling snow, get this winter over with. Flies back to spring.
I love that song. Like, that song is one of those songs you're like, that, I dig that. I love that song. That's one of the few ones I can listen to. And I think part of it is because I know all the other songs pretty much inside and out. You don't know all of that song. It's always something you miss because you don't hear it enough. Like the other ones you grew up singing. I didn't grow up singing. I wasn't in sixth grade on the recorder playing, you know, Christmas rapping by the waitresses. I mean, that would have been cool, you know, but instead I was just making weird noises with the recorder. This song, it's one of that's been around for a very long time, and I don't mind it. Jack loves them, so I tolerate them. And being a cartoon guy as I am, I get it. But it can be annoying. Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Alvin!
By the way, just to let you know how they do the Chipmunks is they have you record in a much slower voice like this, and then they speed it up before it has a nice tempo to it. I don't really, yeah. Again, I listen to these songs. I don't hate all of them, but if you had to hear that 60, like, when else are you listening to Alvin and the Chipmunks? Unless you're taking your child to see an Alvin and Chipmunks movie, when else are you listening to it? Like, that's the only time we're like, oh, that's totally cool. I'll play that all day. I got no problem with that. That's it, man. That's great. I love it. Keep going. Keep it rocking. Keep it rocking. But the songs that I, and this song is very big right now. It's on a ton of commercials right now. You can't escape it right now. It is, I think it's a Walmart commercial. I'm not quite sure what's on, but it's everywhere. And it was sung by a little girl from Oklahoma. And I think she performed it live once or twice on the Ed Sullivan Show. And it became a massive hit. And then it disappeared. And then about 10, 15 years ago, it emerged again. And now, once you hear it, those little earworms, this will get stuck in your head if it's not already stuck from Walmart commercials or whatever it's on. Gayla Peavy, All I Want for Christmas is My Hippo Thingy Mabobber.
This year, McDonald's chose to rob us of tradition.
What was that?
I just had to hear that again.
Oh, my God, Phil. That was the lady from the McRib song. I like that one.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Only a hippopotamus will do. How do you get your voice like she's not. Like, that is her voice at that age. But, like, you're done now, right? Because you can't do anything else. It doesn't move on from there. We got a ton of these things. Some of the other stuff that appeared on there. I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas from Bing. Feliz Navidad. Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Wham's Last Christmas. All I Want for Christmas is You, Mariah Carey. Wham's Last Christmas. That was, I like that song. I was in Europe when that song was a massive hit.
Her silk pantyhose, walking around in women's underwear.
And all of those funny songs. I love that stuff. I love, look, I have no problem with it, but I do understand. It does get annoying. So if you think that you know, you're sick of Christmas now, just remember, we've got, 12 days till Christmas? So you're going to hear a lot more of it. And it's for the kids anyways, and it's a seasonal thing. So if you're single and you're lonely, All I Want for Christmas is You is probably not the song that you're going to want to hear all the time. And if you're in love, yeah, you're fine with that song. You are. Speaking of being in love, I'm in love with the new me, and I'm getting better and better at being the new me, partly because I'm taking care of myself in a better way. I'm going to talk about this because it's a new year in front of us. We are not too far away from a new year, 18 days from now. We'll be gearing up, right? You'll be getting yourself ready for the new year, and you're going to be making changes to your diet, to a workout habit that you already don't have, but you're going to try to have. But I tell you to do some subtle changes. And this year, I want you to hear me out. Super Beats. It's my go-to drink. If I'm feeling tired, sluggish, off my game, I turn to Super Beats, and it helps me out. I drink Super Beats in the morning for an energy boost, maybe in the afternoon for a little pick-me-up. Without the jittery side effects, without the calories, without any of that nasty stuff. And sometimes I go into the gym and I'm working out and I'm doing a little bit harder than I should be. And I'm really, you know, extra. I'm going to go, hey, I'm going to swim and then I'm going to go for a run. Guess what? Super Beats is my go-to thing to get me through that. It gives me the energy and the boost that I need. And it is amazing. And this is the perfect time to make that subtle change right now and add something to your repertoire as you get better fit this 2017 ahead of us. By adding Super Beats. Now, Phil, you just went on a little vacay. Did your Super Beats travel?
I was just going to say, Chad, I drove 26 hours and had my Super Beats with me because, oh my God, it was a long trip. 13 hours each way, and I had Super Beats because, again, you know, I drink the coffee, I get shaky, and I don't want to drink sodas and stuff like that. It's got a lot of sugar, start to crash, can't do it because I got to keep driving. And I did. I stopped. We stopped at a rest area. And my girlfriend looked at me. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I gotta take this because I need to drive some more, and this helps. And I don't crash. I don't get shaky. I don't get anxious. And it tastes great. So why not?"
There you go. And as always, listeners, right here at the Chad Benson Show, you get a 30-day supply free of Super Beats, and that comes with your first order, plus free book, Beat the Odds, and all of it comes with free shipping. Here's the great thing they're doing this holiday season: they're going to give you almost $100 in free gifts because this is the gift of giving health this year. Are you ready for this? You're going to get a free one-month supply of Nutrient Foundation, the uniquely daily multivitamin specifically designed to work with Super Beats, and it's packed with 24 essential nutrients for daily cardiovascular support. That's what you need. Subtle changes make the world a difference over a long period of time. And if you want to be a success, add Super Beats to your menu of things that you're doing this new year, and you're going to be, boom, hitting out of the park. It's guaranteed or your money back. That's amazing. Go to chadbeats.com. That's chadbeats.com or call 800-561-2677. That's 800-561-2677. This stuff works. It works big time. Go to chadbeats.com or call 800-561-2677. Order today. It's the Chad Benson.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Breaking sad news. Alan Thicke, father of Robin Thicke, Brennan and Carter, but also the father to Mike and everybody else on Growing Pains, has passed away at age 69 today. He's playing hockey with his 19-year-old son when he had a massive heart attack. He was transported to Providence St. Joseph's Medical Center around noon and was pronounced dead. He was in a ton of TV shows and also wrote for several of them, including the theme song to Different Strokes, Wheel of Fortune, as well as Growing Pains. Alan Thicke was 69 years old. At first, we didn't believe it because that's who we are. We're cynical here at the Chad Benson Show. Tell us something. We will not believe what you told us. But no, we found out that yeah, it was true. So that's a sad, sad thing. Feels, man, you just don't know. You just don't know. 69. Remember when you were like 69 years old? You're like, oh my God, I can't even believe they have numbers that big. Right? Like, that's insane. Who lives that long? Nowadays, you're like, oh, that's not that old. Like, he had at least 20 years left in him. Playing hockey, though. Think about it. He's playing hockey at 69. Oh, my goodness. Poor guy. It's been a tough couple years for the Thicke family. Robin, wife left him. Paula Patton, who she was smoking hot. Then they got sued for all that money, and Alan Thicke was on wife swap. Oh, it's been a tough few years. Tough few years. That's sad. That's it. Rest in peace. So now, how many has that been? We've had John Glenn. Does he count as a celebrity?
Yes.
He does? Producer Phil, is that a yes?
It's a yes in my book. He is definitely a celebrity.
Well, I knew he's a celebrity, but does he count, like, Robin Thicke, and I mean, Alan Thicke is different than, like, you know, obviously an American hero. So we've had, man, they've been going in bunches lately. Bunches. That's a sad, sad, sad. Right before Christmas, too. Ruined Christmas. Also, Rogue One is coming out. I have had a couple friends that have went and saw Rogue One at the premiere the other night. And this is what I was told about this. It is amazing. Best of all of the Star Wars anything.
Will Wheaton gave it a great review.
Yeah, like, it is a movie that people are like, this is better than anything. It's better than the first six or the six, and it's not, you know, you will recognize a few characters, but by and large, it's a standalone, and it's going to be massive. I don't know how big it's going to be. I don't. I mean, at this point in time, I think if you put a stormtrooper in anything, people are going to show up and watch it. But it's going to be, I think it's going to be huge. And Jack's like over the moon. He's like, oh my God, this, I can't contain myself. Like, and it's coming out after we've, you know, he's got a good portion of the presents already accounted for. So we've held back as an anticipation, if you will, that there may be a, he's at Awana, so I can talk about him like this. We've held back knowing full well that we went and said, okay, we're going to get some Rogue One stuff because he's going to see it and then want it. So it's better to have and not need than need and not have. And if you give somebody, like, you know, one of those, like L.A., man, they turn that downtown. They have the X-Wing fighters and all those stuff down there. They do it right. Like, they do it right. So we'll see, though. We'll see. Again, all that matters is if the people like it. Critics who can complain all they want, but I think the average person's going to like it. And it's going to be, and from what I hear, it's very action-packed. Like, it's action from the word go. Like, what are you doing? Action. Action. Did you watch any of the football game last night, Producer Phil, or did you not have a chance?
It's great. I was in Central Time, and the very first thing I thought of was you, because I'm like, oh my God, I'm in Central Time. football starts noon here.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, 10 o'clock is when we get out of here. But I watched the Patriot game last night. And for those of you who joke, that you laugh about my man crush on Tom Brady. All right. My bromance with the Brady. Can I just tell you that I watched that game last night. First of all, they did all they could to keep the Ravens in the game. But Tom Brady, thank you, threw for 403 yards and, you know, some touchdowns and whatnot. The standard by which he still holds himself, because he went off on Edelman. Edelman ran a route that was wrong, and he just went off on him, screaming at him, yelling at him. He's throwing a water bottle on the sidelines, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? You've earned that right to be that way. Like, when you're that good at something, there are just some things you can do, and you're like, yeah, you've earned your right to be this angry. It's crazy. I love it. Solid, fun show today. Tomorrow, we promise we'll get you over the hump, and we'll try to do better. You can text the show 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Simple and easy, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Check us out across all social medias, at Chad Benson Show is the Twitter, I think Instagram as well. And of course, yes, Facebook, The Chad Benson Show, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. For Anthony, for the Czar, for Scotty, for Phil, my name's Chad Benson. Have yourself a wunderball evening. Night-night, Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.